Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. We just heard the Andante and Allegro by Ernest Chausson, performed by Alexander Bedenko, clarinet, and Roman Rabinovich, piano. Our guest today is clarinetist Alexander Bedenko, who has recently emerged as one of the most promising talents of his generation. He's been attracting the attention of major conductors, as well as leading orchestras, ensembles, and festivals in the United States, Europe, and Asia. It should be noted here that in 2009, Alexander Bedenko was invited to perform with the London Symphony Orchestra as principal clarinet, both at the Barbican Center in London as well as on tour in Germany under conductor Daniel Harding. And in addition to his work with major orchestras, Alex has appeared both as soloist and as a chamber musician at Carnegie Hall, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, at Steinway Hall in New York, at the Chicago Cultural Center, at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., UNESCO in Paris. And he has collaborated with some of the world's renowned artists, such as Vladimir Spivakov, Christoph Eschenbach, Dmitry Sitkovetsky, Kirill Gernstein, Franz Helmersen, Nobuko Imai, Eugenia Zuckerman, and Gautier Capuçon. Alexander Bedenko has also been televised and broadcast in France, Sweden, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, and was featured in radio broadcasts in New York, Philadelphia, and Voice of America in Washington. Welcome, Alexander, to Crossover.
Thank you so much, Jill. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Alex has, you've achieved an awful lot in your career so far, and you have certainly been inspired and inspiring to many musicians and conductors. Tell us a little bit, or tell the audience a little bit about your background. Where are you from? Where did you study?
I was born in Ukraine and in a family of musicians. So my life was sort of predicted. I went to the music school in Kharkov in Ukraine, in my hometown.
Was that
there was a special music school in a former Soviet Union. There are only 8 schools like this, and one of them is in Kharkov in my hometown. My mother was a teacher there. She's a theory teacher. She's a composer. My dad is a violinist. So my childhood was with music always, and I started playing on a recorder when I was little, 7 years old, and then 4 years later, I switched to clarinet.
Now, did you choose the recorder?
No. That's the question to my dad and to my mom. It was their choice. They didn't want me to be a pianist. They didn't want me to be a violinist.
Did they have any explanation for that?
Yes, too much work to do, too much practicing. And they just wanted to be for me to be next to them. And they never wanted to make a real musician out of myself. So,
well, they probably understood that the career of a musician is a difficult one and very demanding and not always rewarding in many, many cases, but I know that the recorder that we use here in the United States for young people is just to kind of get them acquainted with music and, you know, learn music and have that sense of understanding. But a lot of them don't go on, certainly, to become serious musicians. But obviously you had a talent.
I guess I did. And that's why I probably kept learning music. And I switched to the clarinet, to another wind instrument. And after graduating the school, the high school, I came to the United States to study at the Curtis Institute of Music.
Now, when you applied to Curtis, was that somebody...
I applied to Curtis through... See, we have to go back a little bit. I started to travel when I was very young, from 12 years old, through the Charity Foundation in Moscow. And one of my trips were to the Interlaken Arts Camp. It's here in Michigan.
I went there myself.
You went there yourself? That was great. And the teacher there, Sidney Forrest, who lives now in Washington, D.C., he liked me very much, and he suggested me to apply for a few colleges in the United States later on. He named Juilliard School of Music, and he named the Curtis Institute of Music. And our relatives lives in Philadelphia, my family relatives. So they just accidentally picked Curtis Institute of Music just because it was more convenient to apply through the relatives that live here. And I submit the application form, and I send it to Curtis. I got invited to the audition, and I came for audition in 2000 for 2 weeks. I was here. I played my audition, and I was very fortunate and lucky to be accepted.
Well, for those who are listening who aren't quite aware of the situation, Juilliard is a scholarship school as well, but you also have tuition to pay, whereas Curtis is full scholarship. So they don't just take people on full scholarship. They really have to be of a certain level. And I think that's something that people are not aware of. I mean, of course, many fine schools in the United States, but Curtis is full scholarship. So that in itself says something about how they felt about your talent. And they were right, I guess.
I hope so.
Did you love what you were doing?
I love the school. I love their program. I love the faculty. I should thank you so much, Donald Montanaro, my teacher at school, who actually picked me to the school, who was the first to find some talent in me to accept me to school.
How old were you when you came?
I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied with him for 5 years, and I learned a lot from him. And school always had and has a great orchestra training, with fantastic Otto Müller conductor and chamber music with Pamela Frank, with Ida Kovafian, with Peter Wiley. That was one of the greatest days of my life, to be in this school and to learn everything with those great musicians.
Well, obviously, they also applauded your talent, and you've played with many orchestras. I mean, in what capacity, however? I mean, were you hired for orchestral as a chair, a particular chair, a position with a chair, or have you just played with many, many orchestras?
Well, for a job, you have to apply for a specific chair once there is a vacancy open for a position. I auditioned for a substitute pool with the Philadelphia Orchestra in 2006. And I'm very happy that ever since I was playing with this, one of the greatest orchestras in the world.
Yes, and you played with a few of the great ones.
And with the Metropolitan Opera as well. And a few years ago, I was on trial with London Symphony Orchestra for a principal clarinet position. I was guest principal there. But I want to go back to Philadelphia Orchestra because it's all connected with the Curtis Institute of Music, because many of the soloists of this orchestra are faculty from the Curtis Institute of Music. And just to come back after Curtis to this great orchestra and have a chance to be on stage with Ricardo Woodhams, with Danny Matsukawa, the greatest Ricardo Morales, and with Jeffrey Kanner, probably the best wind quartet in the country, if not in the world. And then you it's another step. You learn how to make music with them, and it's an unbelievable joy.
Well, it's on another level completely. It's the highest.
And it's a different feeling to it, too, because when you're a student, it's one thing. And when you're not a student anymore and you just go to the real life and you collaborate with them on a different level, it's a great experience and a great joy. I'm very fortunate to have a chance to play with them.
Now, you had a rather interesting summer, didn't you? You were at the Verbier Festival.
The Verbier Festival is my, how should I say it? It's one of my secret places on earth. I went there for the 5 consecutive years. This festival means a lot to me.
Explain to the audience, Verbier is...
The Verbier Festival is the musical festival and academy in Switzerland. I'm sure many listeners know what it is. It's been out there for 20 years. Actually, the next year will be its 20th anniversary. They have an orchestra. They have a chamber orchestra that plays during the festival. They have academy, which is a separate pool. You have to audition separately to be an academy. And they invite greatest artists every year to perform there.
And you were performing
and
there?
I was fortunate to... I also did perform there as a soloist in 2010 and 2011. And before that, I was in a big orchestra there for a few years.
Now, you also were at Spoleto?
Yes, in 2008 once. I went there, yes.
And that's the one in Italy, though, right?
No, that was the one in
Charleston.
Charleston,
oh, okay.
Yes. And then, it was lots of fun.
Yes, and you of course, you went to Saratoga. And
Saratoga, you were the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Yes, of course. And I read in your bio that you had you were invited to appear with Richard Stoltzman on a recording by RCA. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
That's true. The connection with Richard Stoltzman happened through the legendary clarinet teacher, Kalman Opperman. Unfortunately, 2 years ago, he passed away, but I had a great pleasure to know him his last 6 years of his life. I met him on a clarinet summit in 2004. And Kalman Opperman was the only teacher of Richard Stoltzman. And that's how I met Richard Stoltzman, and we've been playing together quite a few times, and this recording was one of the projects that he was asking me to do with him.
So
was
you
a
did,
few years ago.
You did Bach, and then...
That was Bach. That was his. That CD is music of Bach. It's his arrangements, and we did the Chromatic Fantasia and Fugue by Bach.
Oh, my goodness.
And he played himself Chromatic Fantasia, and then he made a...
An arrangement.
Arrangement for Fugue, and that's where I play. Unfortunately, you can find the CD here because that was on a, I think it's on Japan label, RCA.
Yes,
so
but
you can only find it in Japan, but it's out.
It's out, but it's rather unusual. I mean, they're always making transcriptions of Bach for all instruments, but that's unusual for the clarinet,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's for 2 clarinets and 1 bass clarinet. It's a very fine arrangement, too. Beautiful.
And I have noticed that you, of course, you do love doing chamber work because that's really pretty much what one does, I guess. You don't hear many solo clarinet concerts or recitals.
No, you do, but I feel more comfortable playing chamber music and orchestra.
So is it a limited field, playing clarinet? Obviously, it's either with someone else in chamber work or with an orchestra or perhaps being a soloist in a concerto.
I know quite a few people who can do everything. They can play classical, jazz, chamber music, orchestra. They can do all of it. But my opinion is that you should really be concentrating on one thing or two. But if you try to do everything, you may not really...
I wasn't saying that as much as for repertoire.
For the repertoire, we have a much bigger repertoire, mainly as an orchestra instrument. We have many solos as an orchestra and chamber music. You have more chamber music than a solo repertoire.
So what are your plans for the immediate present?
My plans is to be seen and to be heard. To share my ideas, my thoughts, my talent. If I have one, it's up to the listeners and people to decide. To share it with other people and to learn new stuff and play as much as I can, whether it's chamber music or orchestra. My ultimate main goal is to get a permanent job
with one of
the major orchestras for a principal chair. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a very challenging thing to look around for a position and to play and to maintain your skills and you your your belief in what you're doing, because one knows that it's a very tough situation with orchestras and with music in general.
As Kalman Opperman, whom I mentioned, the teacher of Richard Stolzmann and my last teacher, used to say, and his quote is, "Practice and hope, but never hope more than you practice."
Oh,
I think if I say that, I will answer many of your questions in terms of how not to lose the belief. Everyone has to do their own job. So as long as you can be honest to yourself and tell you every night before you go to bed, today I did all I could, I practiced, I learned something, I'm moving in the right direction, and I want to get this or that or this, I'm sure sooner or later you will get it.
Well, I think that's a wonderful belief in general. It's very positive, and it's also keeps you kind of on track, I think, because you have to believe in yourself, and you have to, I guess, keep your skills up and look to the future and hope that people will recognize your talents. And I think that's a very good philosophy in general. So
I'm trying.
Alex, you have to keep us, informed about your progress right now. I know you're very, very busy doing work, and that's wonderful, and certainly you deserve it. But thank you so much for giving us
your time.
Thank
you so much. Thank you.
Here now, the clarinet quintet by Johannes Brahms, Opus 115 in B minor. Alexander Bedenko, clarinet. Michael Simonian, first violin, Amy Lee, second violin, Anton Zhivayev, viola, and Andrei Chekmazov, cello. We just heard the clarinet quintet by Johannes Brahms, Opus 115 in B minor. Alexander Bedenko, clarinet. Michael Simonian, first violin. Amy Lee, second violin. Anton Zhivayev, viola. And Andrei Chekmazov, cello. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Patti, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.